Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Pelicans at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6:30, all right here on the Big 870 WWL. Joined now by James Yarcho with the Locked On Bucks podcast as the Saints travel to Tampa on Sunday. Win and you are in for the Buccaneers. They're playing great football. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So give me, what's the feeling down there? Is it's kind of quiet overconfidence, or, you got the Saints and Spencer Rattler coming to town. You guys 14 touchdowns for Mayfield in his last four games. The Buccaneers are hot at the right time.
Yeah, I think there's, I wouldn't say it's overconfidence, but there is a confidence that the Bucs are going to be able to do this. And honestly, there's been confidence since the bye week, and they had struggled going into the bye, given some of the opponents that they had to face, some of the heartbreaking losses. But, Bucs fans knew going, coming out of that bye that they faced one team that was above 500 in their final seven games. They needed a little bit of help. They got it, whether it was because other teams stepped up or the Falcons tripped all over themselves. But Bucs fans knew they needed six out of seven in their last seven games to be in this position. And so far they've gotten five out of six. And I feel like, there's quite a bit of confidence that they're going to be able to get the job done against a Saints team that's, kind of searching for an identity, right? They have Spencer Rattler there at quarterback. I'm not sure if they feel like he's the future. Alvin Kamara probably isn't going to play. There's a lot of questions around a team that is going to be, probably looking to the other sideline at a potential head coach for next year.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's for an identity. I think they just, you're looking for some offense. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for some offense and some consistency just because you're without wide receiver one, two, and more than likely you're starting tailback. And so this Saints team, they've played hard. But it's been penalties and mistakes. That is what's hurt them, particularly over the last month or so when you talk about some of the games that they've been in. But I'm intrigued in what you overall think about that team as far as the Saints and, just the going up against a team that basically knows that if they win, they're in.
Yeah, I don't think, and I've been saying it all week on Locked On Bucks, I do not think that this Saints team is going to just come in and lay down for the Buccaneers. Yeah, there's a lot of pride on that side. There are a lot of guys auditioning for whoever the next head coach is. There's a lot of people that have carried over from the Drew Brees era, and they see the Bucs with an opportunity to tie the Saints' record for most consecutive NFC South titles. They see Mike Evans over there looking for his 11th straight 1,000-yard season, and they want to be the ones to say, no, you're not getting the record this time. You're not tying Jerry Rice. You're not getting your 1,000 yards against us. So there's going to be a lot of pride there, and they're going to come out there, and they want to play spoiler no matter what the who gets in because of it. So it's far from an easy matchup. Divisional matchups are always difficult, but the Saints are going to come in and really give the Bucs a fight whether Tampa wants it or not.
What's the talk about Mike Evans this week down there? I don't know how much he's been played in Tampa, the situation with the 85 yards to his 11th season of 1,000 and five receptions to get 70, and then it also would trigger a $3 million bonus. How much is that? How much play is that getting down there?
It means everything to Baker to get Mike Evans that 1,000-yard mark. He would extend his own NFL record for consecutive seasons to start a career, but then of course tie Jerry Rice's all-time record for consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, and it means a lot. But at the same time, Mike is the kind of player that would trade that streak for a win and a division crown and a chance to go to the postseason. And these guys know that the game comes first. And if they go out and they play their game and they establish the run with Bucky Irving and they're doing what they've done for the better part of the last 2 months, that 85 yards is going to come. But I think when you take a look at the significance of what that record means, not just to Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield, but to the franchise, to the fans, you know, who have repeatedly year after year after year talked about how Mike Evans is one of the most overlooked wide receivers in the NFL and people still not believing that he's a Hall of Famer. It does mean a lot, but I don't think they're going to sacrifice the opportunity to win a game just to force Mike Evans the football.
James, I got to ask you on the other side of the ball, you know, one of the guys that, you know, if you aren't concerned with him, you better be on that defensive front, Vita Vey, just how well he's been playing or, you know, some of the things that he can cause as far as problems for any other team.
Yeah, Vita Vea is just, he's so much fun to watch when you're not the team facing him, because he's just a bulldozer and he is going to fight through everything to be able to disrupt the backfield. And the best thing I think about Vita Vea is that he may not show up on the stat sheet the way you would expect a player of his caliber to, but what he does is he opens up so many things for guys like Kalijah Kansi or Yaya Diaby or Levante David or Antoine Winfield Jr., because he takes so much attention and so much manpower to be able to stop that these other guys are able to get one-on-one or absolutely untouched opportunities to get into the backfield and get after a quarterback or to hit a running back for a loss. So Vita is, he's the anchor. He is what drives this defense as that guy in the trenches that eats up two and three blockers at a time and still can manage to get a sack with one arm when you have multiple guys draped over him. He's probably one of the most incredible players to watch play in and play out just because of everything that he is able to do and all of the attention that he garners.
I wanted to ask you, like, week six, Bucky Irving, rookie out of Oregon, fourth rounder, has 14 carries, 81 yards. Now, the big guy that day was Sean Tucker, his career high. But when did you guys down there kind of know what you had in Irving? So he's got over 1,000 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. When did you know?
It was pretty early on knowing what he was capable of. Yet he's Pro Football Focus's most elusive running back in the NFL this year. Very rarely does the first guy actually bring him down. And it wasn't until he started getting more opportunities that he was really able to explode the way that he has. You know, you still have Rashad White, who is a really, really good running back, but Bucky has just been able to take it to another level. You know, Rashad's a little bit bigger. He's not quite as fast. He's a little bit stronger. And Bucky's been that elusive guy. And so as he's continued to progress, of course, Liam Cohen has gotten him more and more involved in the offense. So that's when he's been able to get, you know, 16 or 18 carries, and he's been able to rip off 150-yard games. And you know, they've realized that the more opportunities he has, the better he gets. He's one of those guys, you know, that just gets better as the game progresses, whether that's because he gets a better feel for the game and he's a little bit more adept to the flow, or it's because the defenses are wearing down later in games. But Bucky Irving is a guy ever since training camp that really, you know, the Bucs knew they had someone special to join Rashad in the backfield. And you kind of feel a little bit for Rashad losing kind of his running back one status. But as a duo, they're one of the best duos in the NFL. And a lot of that has to do with how elusive and how quick Bucky Irving is. And then when you can throw it, the power of Rashad at defenses, it really works out well for the Bucs. And this is a team that was one of the worst in the NFL the last couple of years in running the football, and the addition of Bucky Irving has skyrocketed them into the top five.
I wanted to ask you how prepared, or what, you know, Dave Canales last year, Liam Cohen this year, you know, these hot, you know, coordinators always, and with the offense that you guys have put up this year, do they feel like they're kind of in that same situation where they could lose Liam again, like Canales?
100%. Yeah, and Liam talked about it earlier this week that it's been his dream to become an NFL head coach. Right now, of course, he's focused on the Saints this week and trying to get this team to the postseason and then figure out what happens after that. But you know, there's only 32 of those jobs, and if you're in this business, if you're in this industry, that is a dream, and you want to get there however you can. Dave Canales, you know, me personally, I thought it was a little too early and not a great situation. And Davis proved me wrong. What he's done with Bryce Young there in Carolina from the beginning of the season to where they are right now, you know, Bryce Young is going to be a really difficult quarterback to deal with in the NFC South for, you know, years to come. And he's really done a fantastic job. So I fully expect Liam Cohen to be getting calls from teams like the New Orleans Saints, like the Chicago Bears, the New York Jets. He's going to have an opportunity. Now, whether or not he decides to take that opportunity or he pulls a Ben Johnson and wants to stay in Tampa and he knows that at some point Todd Bowles is probably going to move on. You know, Todd has talked about retirement for a couple of years now, that he feels like he's getting to the end of his football journey. Getting to stick with Baker and this offense that he's built in Tampa might be a little bit more intriguing. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But you, a guy like Liam Cohen, who has, you know, worked with Sean McVay, worked with Todd Bowles, and has done some really impressive things in the NFL, he's going to make one heck of an NFL head coach.
Well, James, we appreciate your time. We look forward to the game on Sunday and see how things shake out. James Yard Show with the Locked On Bucks podcast. Appreciate your time again.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you.
You bet. Noon on Sunday in Tampa. Tampa actually has a worse home record than they have on the road. And so they've see how that plays out. And so you see it all the time. And, you know, the Saints are going to be in this basket here, right? You try to go out and
that mentality.
Right. Or do you get somebody, you know, guess what? Everybody wants Vrabel.
Right.
You know, you're not the only team out there, but or if you wait and then try to figure out, you know, is it the hot coordinator? Do you have your eye on somebody? I mean, you don't want to wait too long, right? There's not the only opening.
And then when you look at it, you know, from a coordinator standpoint, particularly from a team standpoint, hey, do I want to coach with head coaching experience? Or do I want a coordinator that's first-year head coach, whether he's offense or defense? And even special teams, you know, this would be his first opportunity as a head coach. And so I think that all comes into play. Really, for me, it depends on the roster of that squad, what I for sure have coming back, and what I potentially have coming back. And then, you know, every coach, you can get upset with the recycled coach theme. You know, some people want to blow everything up, blow it all up, you know. Give me new colors if you can. I don't want you to wear black and gold anymore. Give me a whole new color. You know, just give me everything is new. You know, let's start with the training staff. Let's start with the cafeteria. I want it all blown up. That's the theory that some people have. I'm serious.
I know.
I mean,
if people are just listening in. Deuce is just, you know, yeah, he's being sarcastic.
I am being sarcastic, but some fans truly.
I do 100%.
Yeah, and so, you know, hey, I want a new voice from the front secretary that answers the phone to, I want everything gone. And some are like, well, no, I just want all of Sean's people gone. You know, upstairs, if he worked with Sean, he doesn't need to be there. If he was equipment manager with Sean, he doesn't need to be there. And that's what some people believe. And then some want to say, let's just give a special teams coach. Let's just say, hey, it's Rizzy. And Rizzy, you get to pick whatever coaches you want. You are not saddled with any coaches. So if you want to bring in, and this is, I'm being facetious or joking. If you want to bring in all guys from New Jersey, bring them in. You know, that. But there's no, I don't know if there's a middle ground. I don't know if there's a middle ground for, and I don't want to just call it fans, we'll just say individuals, like, what will make you happy? If this team goes forward, what will make you happy? And I don't have the answer for that. Today I don't. Maybe in 2 weeks I'll have it.
I don't know that if the coaching hire alone would suffice, just in January and February. Maybe. I don't know who that guy would be. You know, who's the guy that if you just hired a coach today, you had a guy, who your guy.
Okay.
And so for the black and gold faithful out there, would that be enough, depending on who that guy is, to go, okay, I'm back on? I don't know. I mean, who's the – I mean, other than Vrabel, who out there – you know, Ron Rivera, I saw, was getting,
yeah, Ron,
he's the guy you're talking about.
He's interviewing for, I think, the Jets, maybe?
Yeah, Jets.
He was talking to the Jets. And Vrabel just talked to the Jets. You know, Mike McCarthy, I think his contract ends, because he didn't get an extension, ends probably next week or in 2 weeks or whatever it is. So, you know, a guy like that. But let's just say, hey, Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach, wants to come to the NFL. Would he make fans happy? Would fans get excited for that?
I don't know.
Or would it take him bringing three players from Ohio State with him, or drafting him, you know, drafting those players? I mean, because you still have free agency to go through. You still have to get cap compliant.
$70 million, something like that, over right now?
Whatever it is, it is what
it
is.
Better than it has. It's been
100.
We've been in worse situations.
It's been 100. Right. It's been 85 or whatever.
Good at
it. Yeah, it is what it is. You got to get cap compliant.
Yeah. By the beginning of the season, March something.
Yeah, first of the March or whatever that date is, you got to get cap compliant. And guess what? The NFL doesn't care if you don't have a head coach then or not. You have to. Whoever is the head coach, they have to still get cap compliant.
In total, just, you know, is this something that happens quickly, or are we going to be beginning of February,
without a coach?
Right.
I highly doubt it.
Quickly, or do you think it'll be like,
yeah, no,
most,
I mean,
of them, most of the time it's February.
What do you call quick?
Because you can't talk to some people to, you know, officially.
And the Super Bowl is
right.
What?
February 9th.
Yeah, but there's some windows in there that they've given some coaches and, you know, some people. Yes, that is correct. I would be surprised if the New Orleans Saints don't have a coach by the Super Bowl. I would be surprised. Would you?
I don't know, because I don't – it's hard to – I mean, I don't know if they're going after hard on somebody like a Vrabel that's got all this interest from other teams, or is there a college coach? Or
bowl games are still going now. So
do you have your eyes on a Liam Cohen or the hot – because right now the hot – he's not – you know, there's going to be a guy – as we move through the playoffs on somebody's team that's going to be that guy, you know. But then
I'm not going to fall in love just because he got hot during the playoffs.
Right.
That's not going to be the reason I hired that coach. If it is, something's wrong with you, because what did he do the other 17 weeks that you all of a sudden said, oh, yeah, that's really why I like him. He made the adjustment in the NFC Championship game, and that's why I want to hire him. If that's the case, ooh-wee.
So that's why I don't have a feel for what direction from a college. You can talk to some college guys.
Here's where it goes for me if you continue to wait. Now, we just talked about cap compliant, correct?
Right.
So if you are waiting until after the Super Bowl, which is February the 9th, you have to be compliant by March 1st, whatever that date is. You've got about a three-week window. Now, all of these cap guys that they want to fire and GMs, assistant GMs, and all of these people that you want to fire as well, that information is already there. So if you fire them, you've got to bring some – you're going to be bringing somebody else in – to kind of do some of that information for you, and because there's a method to be able to get under 70, and then you're not just going to stop at 70 because you still have to sign.
Right. You want to sign to people,
free agents,
right,
as well as draft picks. So it's not going to be, hey, we're cap compliant. You got to do more than that. But if we go and fire even the mail guy and the security guy at Airline Highway, what are you doing?
Right.